Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we'll be reading a story called The Forbidden Room by Tobias Wade. It's part of a collection of stories called 54 Sleepless Nights. If you'd like to pick yourself up a copy, there's a link to it in the description below. Let's get started. My hotel room smelled of death. There were dark, damp patches on the ceiling, with muddy smears down the wall where the varnish wept. A musty yellow mold was growing in the bathroom, and there was a ring around the bathtub that looked like someone had tried to cook a stew in it. The ceramic toilet was so cracked on the bottom, it might disintegrate if someone sat down too hard. Absolutely not. My wife Frances pinched her bandana over her nose, refusing to even step foot in the place. "You really don't want to keep driving tonight, do you?" I protested. I sat on the bed and tried to be a good sport, but the motion caused a cloud of dust to rise, which only spread the odor of mildew. "I'd rather sleep in the car than be patient zero for whatever we catch from this place," she said unequivocally, backing out into the hall. "What about that room with the balcony we passed by the stairs? I didn't see anyone in there." "Maybe they're just checking in late. The man at the desk said this was the last room left." "I should remind you that I'm also your last wife, so you've got to be careful with her. It's after midnight. No one else is showing up tonight. Please, let's just ask." Back down the dimly lit stairs, past the beautiful room with the balcony, we found the receptionist still patiently waiting at his desk. His hands were folded in front of him, and he was staring at the blank wall opposite him. I held out my arm to hold my wife back, and we both watched the receptionist for several long seconds as he continued staring into nothingness, apparently completely content with his role in life. "You don't just sit there all night, do you?" I asked, advancing once more. "Yes, sir. How can I assist?" His little trim black mustache wiggled when he spoke. "We'd like the room with the balcony, please," my wife said emphatically. "I'm sorry, madam. That's being held for the owner of the establishment. May I interest you in some incense to help you sleep?" The receptionist produced a small wooden box and tried to offer it to me, but I pushed it away. I had the unnerving expression that he was continuing to look over my shoulder at the blank wall. "We don't think he'll be using it tonight," I said. Then glancing at my wife, I pulled $20, then $40 from my wallet and slapped it onto the desk, upping to $100 as I watched his perfectly passive face. "Just for the night. We'll leave it exactly the way we found it." "The room is held for him regardless." The man snatched the money from the table without looking down at it, sliding it into his pocket as though his hand had a mind of its own. "Please take the incense. I myself find it greatly comforting in time of distress." I tried to refuse again, but my wife nudged me hard and I accepted the box. Sliding it open, I saw a silver key lying on top of the incense. "I completely understand. Thank you anyway. Have a good night." The mustache wiggled, which might have been the sign of a smile. The new room was absolutely magnificent. Thick, lustrous rugs, a canopy bed draped in black lace, and black silken sheets that Frances was already melting into. I pulled out a lighter and looked for a place to burn the incense, but my wife tossed the box onto the chest of drawers and drew me into the bed. "Put that away. I won't have any trouble sleeping here." We gratefully settled in and pulled the black lace closed around us. I was so tired from a long day of driving that I was ready to fall asleep at once. But as soon as I lay down, I caught an awful stench that must have been coming from the moldy room next door. "Whoa, you smell that too?" I asked. "Mm-hmm," Frances said, stretching luxuriously on the silk. "Like cinnamon cookies. Absolutely delicious." "What are you talking about? It smells like a big fat corpse rotting in the sun. This isn't any better than the other room." "Don't be disgusting. It smells perfectly wonderful to me," Frances said. I tossed and turned for a bit, but the stench was only getting worse, and it was starting to make me feel sick. I got up to look for the incense again, but my wife reached out and snatched me by the wrist, pulling me back. "Enough is enough," she insisted. "We have a long day ahead of us. Just go to sleep already." I tried to settle in again, but it was no use. I tried to breathe through my mouth instead, but it felt like rotten eggs dribbling down the back of my throat every time I inhaled. I blearily pushed myself upright again, only to feel the wooden box of incense shoved into my hand. "Thanks, honey," I said. "I don't know how you can't smell that.
Mm-hmm.
She grunted sleepily from the bed beside me. I stared at the box in my hand, which had just been on the chest of drawers. Francis had been beside me the whole time, and I had never gotten up to retrieve it. I thought I saw a shadow pass on the other side of the canopy, and tore the black lace aside to look. A suffocating wave of nausea washed over me, my lungs feeling as though they were filling with thick, syrupy liquid, tasting the air just as my mouth and nose did. I coughed and gagged, hurriedly lighting a match to burn one of the incense sticks. Beneath the light of the feeble flame, I saw Frances beside me on the bed, only it wasn't her anymore. Her once pale skin was now rotten and gray, with puckered holes in her cheeks, through which I could clearly see her swollen tongue. Bloated, decomposing fingers clutched the blanket to her chin, and the miasma rising from her was so thick that it discolored the air into a greasy smear where it leaked around the blanket. A sudden, vicious gust of wind from the balcony tore into the room and whipped my light into darkness. I grabbed my wife by the hand and tried to pull her from that reeking bed, but she sleepily protested, waving me off with a strength in sharp discord with her decaying appearance.
"We can't stay here. We have to go back to the other room," I pleaded.
"The other room is dreadful and this is so nice. Why don't you want to be with me? Don't you find me beautiful anymore?"
The swollen fingers kept grasping at me and the sight was too revolting to even look.
"Let me at least light the incense, please. There's something wrong with this place. We aren't safe. You aren't..."
"For heaven's sakes, enough with that dreadful stuff. If you don't love me, just leave me alone."
The words came feebly, distorted by the weakly flopping tongue, as the air escaped through her perforated face. I tried to light the incense again, but she snatched it from me and hurled it out from the bed. I tried to rouse her, but she fought me off, clawing at my arms and face until I leapt from the bed.
"I will not be treated this way,"
howled the voice, which was not my wife, but came from her spoiled form.
"Sleep in the other room for all I care, and take your damn incense with you if that's all you care about. You're the one who will need it in there."
I should have fought harder to drag her out, but I was so overburdened by the stench and the horror that I allowed myself to flee. Down the stairs without getting dressed, all the way to the receptionist who remained placidly staring at the blank wall. His mustache wiggled as I approached, panting and gasping in the clean air, as I slammed the wooden box down on his desk. He waited patiently for several seconds for me to catch my breath before he said,
"It looks like you're having a bad dream, sir. Why don't you return to your original room and see if you don't feel better by the morning?"
A little mold didn't seem so bad after all that. I nodded deliriously, turning to stagger back toward the stair without another word.
"And remember, to light the incense this time, it really does help," he added cheerfully behind me. "The owner of the establishment was very fond of it before he died."
The incense did help after all, and within seconds of lighting it, I found myself drifting off to sleep in the old room. I kept telling myself that it was a bad dream and that everything would be fine by the morning. But that was only the voice of cowardice which refused to face what remained of my wife. Francis wasn't in the other room in the morning. It was clean and empty, the silken bed perfectly made exactly as I had found it. I questioned the receptionist, but he swore up and down that I checked in last night alone. The only thing I'm sure of that night is that the second room was never empty, and that the owner never left the room, even after his death. And that's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, consider subscribing for more and liking this video. I'd love to hear your comments in the comment section below if you're on YouTube. If you're anywhere else, I don't know what your options are, but I appreciate you for being here and for listening. If you'd like to, you can come join our Discord. It's pretty chill. There's a lot of fun people to talk to, and it's really nice. And if you'd like to support the channel even more, there is a Patreon available. So with all that said, thank you for listening. I hope I will see you in the next one.